Well, good morning, everybody. Great to be with you this morning, and thank you, Simon, for the invitation to preach today, and a very, very happy Christmas to you all, whatever you're doing, wherever you will be. And who knows? Honestly, there are so many changes these days, we never know what's going to happen next. I wonder, did any wife here get very excited at that Bible reading this morning? Because you may have heard of just the greatest Christmas gift that some wives could ever think of. Their husband can't speak. Imagine, for months, Zechariah wasn't able to speak. I thought I might have seen some woman dancing in here this morning at the fact that there was even a story like that in the Bible. But as you know, we're doing this series on miraculous births, and this morning it's the time of John the Baptist, although we're going to focus more on two people who I think are some of the unsung heroes of the whole Bible, his parents. Isn't it amazing how, well, I'm sure you've heard the phrase, behind every great man there's a woman wondering how he got there. But behind people who do great things, there's always a story. Always a story. And sometimes the focus is on a certain celebrity or a certain individual. And the people who molded that person and who have had a colossal influence on that person are often completely forgotten. Most of this story, actually, this morning, isn't just about John the Baptist, but it's about Zechariah and Elizabeth. Let me begin this way. A couple of days ago, I think it was Thursday or Friday, I met a man I'd never met before. He was a tradesman, and we were just chatting. And I said, I'm sure you've had a hard day, and you must have started early this morning. And he said this to me. He said, you know, if you get a reputation for getting up early in the morning, you can get up at whatever time you like. I don't know, I'd heard that before, but it was good to be reminded of it. And it's absolutely true. Isn't it true that when somebody gets a reputation, that sticks? And the reputation could be totally true, or it could be utter fantasy, another fairy tale, because it's solar systems from the truth. When God looks at his people, he wants reputation and reality to be married together as one. And I honestly believe, as we read about Zechariah and Elizabeth in this passage in Luke's Gospel chapter 1, we see two people in whom reputation and reality are joined together as one. As one of our politicians said many years ago, and it became a famous phrase, inextricably linked. These are two remarkable people. In the time of Herod, the king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. That was their reputation. People who knew this couple knew there's a holy couple. Or as we might say in Belfast, they're good living. They really were good living. They lived good lives, according to Luke. Blameless. Seeking to honour God in everything that they did in a quiet, humble way. They both were of good pedigree because they both came from priestly families. So if you like, historically, they had good connections. But everybody who knew them was so impacted by their holiness, the holiness of their lives, the sincerity of their belief. But they were a heartbroken couple. Isn't it amazing how the older we get, the more we realize behind every face there's a story. And the story behind Zechariah and Elizabeth was quite simply this. They longed for a child and they couldn't have one. As we heard this morning, Luke said Elizabeth wasn't able to conceive. And yet they'd prayed. They'd prayed for years. I have no doubt Elizabeth would have been like Hannah hundreds of years before in the temple, praying that God would give her a child. One of the lessons I think we can learn from Zechariah and Elizabeth is simply this, that in the purposes of God, there are unexpected delays. If we could have the first slide on the screen, or the next one. The angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you're to give him the name John." Now, this is miraculous, folks. Because here is this couple who've been married for years. They're now getting on in years. Still no child. And this word comes to them after this delay of decades. It's a remarkable word, and we'll come back to it in a moment. Next slide, please. One of the things I think we learn from this, and it's a vitally important lesson for all of us, is yes, we will encounter unexpected delays. Yes, we will cry out with the psalmist, "How long, O Lord? How long? How long? I've been praying my heart out about this, Lord, for years, and nothing seems to be happening." It is so good for me, for all of us, to be reminded God does hear prayer. The angel brings this message from the Lord. "Zechariah, I've heard your prayer. It hasn't gone unnoticed." Isn't it important to remind ourselves, not least at Christmas time, because a lot of the Christmas stories have this theme running through it, actually, about a time of waiting, a time of delay. We've even heard already this morning about Advent, a time of waiting. And some of us are so impatient. Let's be honest about it. And God wants us to wait. And when we pray, sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's wait. But God will always hear the prayers of his people. And sometimes we need to begin to see things from his perspective rather than through our own self-centered filters. Lesson number one, God really does answer prayer. Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. On this occasion, the answer wasn't an immediate yes. The answer wasn't an immediate no. It was wait. And they had been waiting for years. I wonder, is that the experience of somebody here this morning? We've been praying. Maybe we have a prayer diary and we write things down. And we've been praying about this for years. And still there doesn't seem to be anything emerging, developing, giving birth. And God is speaking into our lives this morning. Listen, please wait. Because secondly, next slide, there is a bigger picture going on here. There really is a bigger picture. And one of the things that thrills me about the Christmas stories is, again and again, we're getting a little glimpse into the purposes of God, that there's a bigger picture here that sometimes we don't see because we're just so focused on a specific. But God's bigger picture is this: there's a Savior coming. There's a Messiah coming, and someone's going to be sent to prepare the way for this Messiah. And Zechariah and Elizabeth, this wonderful, elderly, ordinary couple, just like all of us here, they are part of this bigger picture. That is exciting. I don't care who we are. I don't care what we are. I don't care if we've millions in the bank or nothing in the bank. When we are disciples of Jesus, there is a bigger picture at work in our lives. And all things will work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Even when we don't understand, even when God is saying, wait, even when there seems to be a delay in our prayers being answered. And what is the bigger picture at work here? Well, what does the angel say to Zechariah? "Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you're to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth." And this man is going to be so used by God. He's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's going to bring back to God many of the people who've turned away from God. And finally, he's going to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Wow, what a vision. When you and I pray for Northern Ireland today, or the United Kingdom, or the island of Ireland, or pray for our world, are we praying that God will use us to be part of a prepared people, preparing a people for the coming again of Jesus. This is what he wants to do through every single one of us, whoever we are. No matter how ungifted we feel we are, God wants to use us. Next slide, please. Yes, there will be these unexplained delays. But friends, please get hold of this from this story of Zechariah and Elizabeth and the birth of John the Baptist. The Lord has his own timetable for unfolding things. And we need to learn to trust him for that. Hand it over to him. Sometimes we want to be the managers, don't we? We want to be the control freaks. With all due respect, who do we think we are? Do we think we know better than God, who made us, who loves us, who cares for us, who sent Jesus to die for us, who's a God of all wisdom, all knowing? Let's get a glimpse of his bigger picture. And part of his bigger picture is this, next slide please, that in the life of the people of God, there will be unexpected encounters. I love this. Yes, in a very real sense, everybody knew in Israel a Messiah would been coming. Zechariah and Elizabeth knew that. But did they ever think that they would be the parents of a son called John, who would prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah? Not in 100 years. Did a young teenage girl, a virgin called Mary, ever think she would be the mother to the Messiah? Of course she didn't. Until there was an angelic visitation. Until there was an unexpected encounter. Did a young man called Jeremiah ever think God would call him to be a prophet? No, he didn't. He said, Lord, I'm far too young for this. Did the great Moses ever think God would call him to be a leader? No, he didn't, because he'd say, Lord, I have a stutter. I'm slow of speech. Why would you call somebody like me? But they experienced an unexpected encounter, a meeting with God in their lives, and their life was never the same again. Christmas is a story of unexpected encounters, isn't it? With the shepherds out in the fields thinking, oh yeah, the angel's about to come. They put it in their diary. On a certain night next week, the angels are going to appear. Not at all, never entered their heads. Unexpected encounter. Wise men the same, these sages in the east, saw a star and things began unexpectedly. Mary and Joseph, go right through it all. We've got them. Christmas is the story of unexpected encounters. Have you and I blocked that out of our Christian lives? I know this sounds a bit of an Irish one, but are we expecting the unexpected? One of the best bits of advice we were ever given before we went to serve in missionaries in South America was this: expect everything to be different to what you expect. Brilliant piece of advice. Brilliant piece of advice. And I think we learn from the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth that we can expect unexpected encounters when we are disciples of Jesus. And we can expect unexpected encounters with God. And God doing things in a way we'd never expect and at a time we'd never expect. Let me give you an example. There are just so many examples I could give. Next slide, please. Does anybody recognize this man? Very, very famous actor, Sir Anthony Hopkins. Just this week, I mean, again, this is unexpected in my life. God giving me this as I was preparing for the sermon this morning. I never knew this about Sir Anthony Hopkins, that for many years he was an incurable addict and atheist. Didn't believe there was a God. His life was marked by addiction. He was totally addicted to alcohol. Look at his words, not mine. I was hell-bent on destruction. It was like being possessed by a demon, an addiction, and I couldn't stop. And there are millions of people around like that. Sir Anthony Hopkins realized he needed help, so he turned to Alcoholics Anonymous, AA. Up until then, he'd been an atheist. But during an AA meeting, a woman asked him a simple question, why don't you just trust in God? Wow. That was the turning point, folks. A lady, we don't even know her name, And she asked this famous actor in an AA meeting, why don't you just trust in God? And desperate as he was, he thought, well, why not? And that was the context of the change, total change of beliefs of Sir Anthony Hopkins. Unexpected encounter at the AA meeting. Somebody, and we don't even know who she is, or he, whoever it was, asked a simple question, why don't you just trust in God? And folks, God can use you and use me to be that kind of person, so that God speaks through us to others, and they have an unexpected encounter, and things are never the same again. Let's expect God to do the unexpected, and pray that many, many more, like Anthony Hopkins, will discover freedom and forgiveness in Jesus, and be freed from their addiction, whatever it is. My chains fell off, my heart was free. What a wonderful, wonderful hymn. Thirdly, one of the marks, next slide please. One of the marks, I think, of Zechariah and Elizabeth is undoubtedly this. They lived holy lives, faithful, holy, blameless. Verse 6 in this passage, both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. Reputation and reality joined as one. These were two people who were good to know. I remember in my life, and this is many, many years ago, meeting in those days, these people were called old age pensioners, and I'm now one. Senior citizens, I think, is the correct term now. I don't know, whatever it is, somebody keep me right afterwards. But you know, I used to visit this lady. She was an elderly widow, lived in a tiny little, what we call, pensioner's bungalow. And can I tell you this? I never, ever left that elderly lady's house without sensing I've just been with Jesus. She lived in Giltman Park. I will never, ever forget her. Every time I went, well, actually, it turned from being on the first time an unexpected encounter to an expected encounter. Because I would come away wanting to love Jesus more, wanting to be closer to Jesus, wanting to be more like Jesus. She was like Zechariah and Elizabeth. And folks, that's the way God wants you and me to be. Holy, blameless, living his way. One of my heroes is the famous Reverend Dr. John Stott. Next slide, please. Time magazine, actually. I mean, this will show you a mark of this man's leadership ability. Time magazine they wrote an article on the 100 most influential leaders of the 20th century. And John Stott was one of them. Remarkable. What was one of the secrets of John Stott's life? I think it was the same as Zechariah and Elizabeth, honestly. He wanted to live a life that was blameless, that was holy. He was passionate about living like Jesus. He wanted not just to say with his lips what he believed, but to live it out in his life. And there's a wonderful story that came out, and there are just so, so many, from the Latin American theologian Rini Padilla, who one time when he met John Stott at a gathering, he said this. On the previous night, after meeting John Stott, we arrived in Bariloche, Argentina, in the middle of heavy rain. The street was muddy, and as a result, by the time we got to our rooms that had been assigned to us, our shoes were covered in mud. In the morning as I woke up, I heard the sound of a brush, and I discovered that John Stott was busy brushing my shoes and cleaning the mud off them. John, I exclaimed, full of surprise, what are you doing? My dear Rene, he was quite, you know, awfully English, said, my dear Rene, Jesus taught us to wash each other's feet. You do not need me to wash your feet, but I can brush your shoes. The great theologian, preacher, author of so many books, used by God all over the world. And what's he doing? Cleaning the dirty, muddy shoes of somebody at that time he really didn't know very well at all. Does that remind you of anybody? John 13, Jesus down on his knees, washing the disciples' feet. You see, everybody who knows John Stott or who knew John Stott would tell you exactly the same. His private life and his public life were married. They were as one. Reputation and reality came together just like Zechariah and Elizabeth and just like Jesus. And final point, and very, very briefly, not only were Zechariah and Elizabeth marked by holy living, they were marked by faithful serving. We'll go to the next one. He served faithfully in the temple. On this particular day, when he went into the temple, this was one of the highlights of Zechariah's life, because he was allowed into the very Holy of Holies where he could give the incense. This maybe wouldn't have happened more than once or twice a year. For some, it never happened in their lifetime. But he would have been so humbled before God that he was able to do this, and then had that unexpected encounter of the angel appearing at the side of the altar. But what was it in the context of? This happened in the context of his faithful serving, going about his business, doing what God had called him to do. So, you know, if I'm going round in the bin lorry emptying bins, what I'm really saying is this: I should be expecting to meet with God when I'm doing my work here. If I'm plastering walls, I should be expecting to meet God. If I'm lecturing at a university, I should be expecting to be seeing God at work, wherever it is we are. Just like Zechariah and Elizabeth and so many others, Old Testament and New Testament. Let's commit ourselves to being faithful servants. And of course, what did Jesus say when he comes again? What are the words we want to hear from him? Well done, good and faithful servant. And so with this I finish, and I suggest we not only meditate on this, but actually let this become our prayer as we leave this morning. It's a wonderful reflection called The Brick, and it's by it's written many years ago by a wonderful man, I think he was French, Michel Coist. The bricklayer led a brick on a bed of cement, then with a precise stroke of his trowel spread another layer, and without a by your leave he laid on another brick. The foundations grew visibly, the building rose tall and strong to shelter people. I thought, dear Lord, of that brick buried in the darkness at the base of the building. No one sees it, but it accomplishes its task, and the other bricks need it. Lord, what difference does it make whether I'm on the rooftop or in the foundation of your building? As long as I stand faithfully at the right place. And in the body of Christ, folks, every single Christian has a place to stand and a place to serve. Let's get on with it. Doesn't matter whether we're in the public eye or behind the scenes. It doesn't matter whether we're a John the Baptist who's preparing the way, or his parents like Zechariah and Elizabeth. Doesn't matter. As long as we're standing faithfully at the right place, open to unexplained delays, unexpected encounters, and passionately committed to being more like Jesus, Zechariah and Elizabeth, committed to holy living and faithful serving. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your presence with us here this morning. And we just pray your blessing on everyone in this whole community, Lord. Around this village of Dollingstown this Christmas, may there be a sense of your presence in our midst. And Lord, I pray that you will raise us up and raise more up to be like Zechariah and Elizabeth, people who love you and faithfully serve you and stand in the place you have for us, wherever that is. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.